speaker, our speaker this week. She is a genuine woman of God, a woman who truly knows how to speak things at just the right moment. And today she's coming up to teach us on only her sophomore effort. So I would ask that you would, but I know from her first effort, from her freshman effort, what a blessing it was. And so I am convinced that the Holy Spirit will work through her to likewise instruct us this morning. So please stand and warmly welcome Alexia Hernandez.
Okay. Morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm going to start today with a question. And I'd like to ask everyone here, who needs decision rather directions?
Show his time. Calculating route. Approaching left turn. Calculating route. When possible, make a legal U-turn. Approaching left turn. Approaching slight right turn.
And my favorite.
Slight right turn in 0.5 miles. Turn it in. 2 miles. Slight left turn in 0.5 miles. Calculating route. When possible, make a legal U-turn. Approaching destination on the right. You have arrived.
That's my favorite part. You have arrived. All right. I've got a question. Who here needs direction in decision making? We all need to make decisions on a daily basis, and not all of them warrant fast and prayer. So, who's familiar with this? How many of you actually own one? How many trust it? Whoa, how many trust it? Okay, well, let me tell you my little story with this thing. I believe it's the GPS, and it tells you where you are, where you're going, and if you let it, how to get there. My personal experience with this is, if any of you know me, is I hate anything technical. I don't do technical things. It takes me a long time to warm up to any of this. But I remember all those family vacations where I'm the navigator, and I've got this map, and the car makes a right, so I have to turn the map. And then I'm like, I don't know where I'm at. Pull over, pull over. Well, where do I turn? Do I get off this exit or not? No. Just, can you just pull over and see where we're at? How can I tell you where we're at if I don't know where we're going? You know? So in order to have avoided all of that, I would have loved for one of these things to exist when the kids were little, because what they remember of family vacations is a frustrated dad and a screaming mother. But in any case, I really wish that, right? Candace is nodding. Of course. So I bought these for my husband as one of his Christmas gifts, just to be able to. It was my letter of resignation from navigation. I said, "Here, I've resigned," and now he makes me plug it in. But it is truly one of the best things in sliced bread, as far as I'm concerned. And I bring this up because I've had the opportunity to travel to a series of places that I had never been before, and I began to trust it. When I first started using the GPS, I always questioned it. I wondered, why is it going this way if I know that there's a better route to go? Or why is it taking me in that direction? It didn't make sense, so I would continually choose the different route options: shortest time, shortest distance, most use of highway, least use of highway, and found out that no matter where it was that I was plugging it into or what options, eventually it did take me to where I wanted to go. With that in mind, I want to bring up a little testimony about not listening to Maggie, because it's Magellan. So if it was something else, you'd name it something else, but name it Maggie. We took a trip with another couple, and each of us had rented our cars at the airport, and of course we all had our little GPSs. And the trip from the airport to the hotel should have been maybe 20 minutes, and it took us like well over an hour. because we kept rerouting the stupid thing, trying to figure out which is the best way to get to this hotel. And we could see the hotel practically from a distance. We just couldn't get off it. And it was because we kept rerouting this thing that it took us a little over an hour to get there, because if we would have listened, it may have been a different way, but we would have eventually gotten there. So I want to take a minute to see how this thing works. Of course, you have your little options. My favorite option is that it is super intelligent, because no matter where you are, at least in the United States, is the only place I've used it. If you ask for Starbucks, it's very smart. It'll get you there. Okay. So you have different selections, and let's just go to the address book and a previous destination that you might have had plugged in there. I know where Starbucks is here, so I won't bother with that one. But, wait, there's a Starbucks in Irving, Texas. That's the last Starbucks I hit outside of St. Mary's County. So you hit your Starbucks, and we're going to Texas. You route it, and I just want to get there fast because it's Starbucks. And it's going to tell me if I'm traveling in this direction. It's going to take a while because it's a long way to Texas. But anyway, I think we got the idea. The trick is you have to keep it like this, pointing in the same way, because if you go like that, you're going in another direction.
Really?
Yes, really. Okay. So basically that's how it works. It's very simple, and it's simple in concept. Now, if you factor in human nature, we have another ball of wax with this. We're in a hurry. We pass our turn. And you heard all of that. Make a safe, legal U-turn. So if we're headed in a certain direction and we know where we're going, we ignore it. We always try to reroute it to a more familiar route. And then when we hear, when possible, make a U-turn, you'd think that in order to keep our sanity, that's what we would do, because it'll continually say it over and over and over again. Some of us, on the other hand, just ignore it, and we listen to it until the GPS just decides to reroute itself based on your previous decision, which is not always the ideal path. And you'd think that that voice over and over again would just go ahead and remind you, to encourage you to make that U-turn. But instead of that, we hit that little mute button. Now we don't have to hear it. So at this point, we're off course. We know it. And it's okay, because we want to do it, and we want to do it our way. Now, the source of power is the car. It's plugged into the car and all the stuff that works with it. Remember, I'm not technical. I just know that if it's not plugged in, after a couple of hours, you get a black screen, and you're lost. That simple. Anyway, why am I promoting this GPS thing? I don't own stock in it. Why am I promoting it? Because I see it as the God positioning system. And I want you to keep it in mind. I just wanted to give you a visual to keep it in mind as to what the message is about today. And it's basically about God's positioning and the system that he has to get us there. When we first come to the Lord, it's easy to follow him. We give our lives to the Lord, and he treats us like little children. Basically, when we pray, our prayers are answered quickly, simply. It's his tender way of showing us that he's going to be faithful in this journey. And as new believers, he does guide us like children. But there comes a time that we have to make a decision, and the decision has to be to truly lay down our plans aside for his plans, which really are ultimately the plans that he has for us. I don't know at what levels of your Christian walk most of you are at here, but this is just, it was not a walk in the park for me. There are times when it becomes a gut-wrenching situation. You're determined to follow the Lord. You have a yes in your heart for him, and then he's got to show different areas. He needs to put a mirror in front of you. And when he puts that mirror in front of you and starts pointing out stuff, it's not a pretty thing. It's hard. Especially, I have found that the challenge I have most with is disappointments. And I think that a lot of people are like me. We have certain levels of expectation. We just tend to have certain levels of expectation for people. That's really the biggest problem in the world, is people. If we could factor them out, I'd be really happy. But we have a tendency to have expectations for our family members, our spouses. I think the one that's, The one that most affects us is probably our children, or our loved ones, our employers. And when we're faced with disappointments, it's just it brings us into a roller coaster of emotion. So once we make a decision to truly follow Him, we really need to be in tune with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to walk in the ways that the Lord had set out for us. And we just need to learn to hear Him. And when we do hear it, we need to then accept the guidance. Thankfully, God's desire is that we all get to our destination. So He will reroute us when we walk away from His path. And it may lead us into circumstances that He would not have preferred. But in His mercy and for His glory, He takes our messes and turns them into blessings. So it's our responsibility to want to hear the Holy Spirit. And too often we just hit that mute button and we turn Him off or we unplug Him because we feel like we know what it is that we're doing. Even it may be His vision for us, and we just automatically take that route as though we know what we're doing. And I call that ignoring His written word and His counsel. And this is really dangerous because if we don't stay plugged into the source, we really are without power and therefore without direction. One of the trips that I took recently was to San Diego. I had never been outside of the East Coast, so my sister lives in Arizona, and I decided that while I was out there, it was only a five-hour drive, I was going to go visit her in Arizona. I left at 4 in the morning, and I plugged the GPS in, and I decided I was just going to follow it because obviously I had no idea where I was. And, of course, at 4 in the morning, it's very dark, so my trip started out really dark, and by the time that the sun rose, I was like on a flat desert, so I could see the sunrise over the desert, the mountains in the distance. It was like almost like a cowboy movie because there was a tumbleweed stuff happening, and I thought, wow, those movies were real. You know, I'd just never seen tumbleweed like that on a desert. So it was a beautiful ride once the sun rose and I knew what I was looking at, and it was just a very breathtaking view. When I came back, my return trip, I took the same route, and again, I left at 4 in the morning, but I left now in the opposite direction, so I had seen all of that scenery that was once in the sunlight. And as I came back, the part that was new to me was what I was driving through when it was early in the morning and still dark going towards San Diego. When I drove that, as I came closer and closer to those mountains that were at a distance before, you are literally driving through a mountain. It's like, you know, pieces of the mountain was blown off to put this road or something. But you are literally, they're humongous, and they're huge rocks, and they're right there or they're right there. And in this drive, I realized that there were certain points on that road that if I would have veered off just 10 feet, there were no barriers. It was just like a straight shot down from the top of a mountain down. When I'm driving this thing, you know, they tell you what speed to go depending on the curves. And I'm driving this, and I'm floored, and I'm so glad that there's nobody behind me because I'm, like, taking the scenic thing and looking at this. It was amazingly fabulous that God created these mountains like this. And the thought occurred to me, oh, my God, I had no idea in pitch black darkness that if I would have veered off, dead. I would have been dead. The thought of that was, like, amazing to me because the reality of the danger that I was in was obscured by the darkness. So I'm a little weird. I know that I take everything into what God is trying to tell me or things like that. It's common for me, I guess is what I'm saying. It's common for me to take the things that happen to me on a daily basis and I focus them into what it is that God may be saying or showing me. But it would have been instant death because those cliffs are super steep and they had no rails. And sometimes if we know what we're getting into, fear can set in, and it'll just knock out the journey. I think if I would have known how dangerous that part of it was, I probably never would have left at 4 in the morning, so which means I would have never gotten to my sister's at a reasonable time, which would have thrown the whole thing off. So it spoke to me in two different ways. The first way is that even in darkness, when we can't see what we're in the middle of or why, if we choose to follow Him, we don't have to fear because He uses these things so that we can step out and take the journey that He wants us to be at without having that fear. And secondly, if we're in the darkness by choice, it's so much that we're missing out on. Sometimes we make the wrong decisions that keep us in darkness, and it's so much that there's just so much beauty that the Lord has for us, and we would have been missing out on this if it's by choice. It kind of makes me think, you know, have you ever been in a situation where God is doing something in your life, which is usually not the skip in the meadows, but if God is doing something in your life, it's usually when you come out of it that you look back. When you've conquered the situation, you look back and you see him there. And we just can't figure him out. There's so many times that he speaks to us and takes us in certain paths, and it just, to us, it feels like we're in the dark or in the desert. But he really does have a plan and a reason for it. And it's really important that when we're in something, we realize that God is at work in our lives, and we say, all right, Jesus, where are you in this? So we're talking about direction and our destiny. If direction affects the path to our destiny, what determines our direction? Anybody? The decisions. It's our decisions. Where we are today is a result of decisions we made yesterday. And it's as simple as that comment. Decisions determine direction, and direction determines our destiny. There was one saying that my parents had, and I think it exists in every culture. Of course, in Spanish, it's a little different than in English, but, you know, birds of a feather flock together. In Spanish, it sounds more like, tell me who you hang with, and I'll tell you who you are. I always thought my parents were so dramatic with those things, but then I became a parent. And basically, it's the truth. If you surround yourself in a certain element, in a certain place, or with certain people, that is who you associate with. So if you picture the birds, because I'm a very pictorial person, if you picture the birds, they're flocked together. If they're going to fly this way, well, you're going to go in that direction. Or if they fly that way, you're going to go in that direction. So the important thing is to, first of all, as a believer, know, what is it, Lord? Or inquire of the Lord, where is it that you want me to be, even if it's just for the season in your life. It doesn't have to be the ultimate. But where is it that we're supposed to be? And then once we're in tune to where we're supposed to be, then we need to make sure that we surround ourselves with the people, the elements, the situations to take us in that direction. How do we make the decisions that keep us on the right path? Romans 8:14. See, I am bringing up a scripture. Romans 8:14 says that as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. And note, it says sons of God, not children. So this would be a situation where you've stepped up and you've said, yes, Lord, at a different level. Romans 8:16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's a connection there. The Lord calls us his sons, and just like earthly fathers take their sons next to them and guide them and show them and teach them, that's how the Lord wants to be with us. Now, if you picture little children, they're running around, they're playing, they're all over the place. But when you picture a more mature child, a son, they are next to their father, learning, looking, listening, and growing. So this is where the Lord needs for us to be, or rather where we need to be with the Lord. We need to be in a situation where we're close to him. And it's not about our head. It's not about our feelings. It's our spirit, our hearts. We can't lean on our own understanding. He leads us through our hearts. And if he's leading us through our hearts, what does that tell us about the condition that our hearts should be in? I prefer to break this down and get to the root of it so that we know where to grow from there. The condition of our heart is very important in hearing the Lord. The first thing that we need is a clear heart. Proverbs 20:27 says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all our inner depths of his heart, all the inner depths of his heart. So once we have the spirit of the Lord in us, it serves as a candle, as a light to our souls for the Lord, for us to know, because he will show it to us. He'll show us the condition that our heart is in. And we need to take those times with him and ask him, say, Lord, what is the condition of my heart? Am I harboring bitterness, rebellion, disbelief, anger, hurt? We need to know what condition that our heart is in, because we can't see which way we're going if we've got all this clouded and mucky. And he's faithful to show us. I like to think of it this way, since we're using the analogy of the driving thing. If you're driving in a torrential downpour, you might be on the right road and you might have the right destination in mind. But if you don't have those windshield wipers, you have no idea which way to take the turns to get you where you're going. So we need that clear vision. And you can consider that a plug for Prayers That Heal the Heart that's coming up. If you haven't signed up, you should do that, because the Lord will certainly show you where you need to work on your heart. The second thing that we need is a humble heart. We have to be teachable. We have to be willing. And God really is smarter than we are. I know that we all know that in here, but we never really walk it out like that. He really is smarter than we are. We really don't know it all. And if we have that tendency to think, oh yeah, I knew that, oh yeah, I knew that, you might know it, but are you walking in it? The knowing is actually in the walking in it. We make decisions without asking him all the time. And again, not every decision is something that you need to be fasting and praying about, but there is that total communication with the Lord. We need to know what the decisions that we're making and why we're making them. He really is the go-to guy. Psalms 32:8 says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. That's the part that caught me. I will guide you with my eye. So many times a situation could be happening, and if I really know a person, I could just look at them. And my looking at them and they're looking at me, we've just communicated without words. But you have to really know that person. You just can't. Somebody could be giving you a look and you're like, and then you have to wait. I mean, that does happen to people, doesn't it? You know, when you're trying to communicate something across and you're like, you can't get it. Well, you can't get it because you really don't know what that person, who that person is. You don't really have that type of communication. So again, this tells me that if the Lord is going to guide us with his eye, we have to know him. We have to be intimate with him, because that guiding through the eye is a very intimate and personal thing. He already knows the beginning from the end. He really does. He already knows our beginning and our end, and he knows, he has that in sight. So he has a destiny for us. It exists. It is there. And it has to be our decision to get ourselves in that path to find it. The third condition, regarding listening and receiving the direction from the Lord is a humble heart. I'm sorry, that was the second one, the humble heart. There was two. The third condition is that we have to really want to do the right thing. And the right thing is not always the easiest thing to do. But our motives for what we do and the attitude that we do it in, that is very important, because we have to love the truth. The truth is written here. And if we don't go by what the truth is, then our vision of the things that are happening out there, they're obscured. Because I could tell you something that sounds like the truth, but is not the truth. So we have to love the truth, and we have to want to walk in it. And it's not something that we can do on our own. I mean, all this sounds like a little checklist. Did that, did that, did that. It takes time, and it takes intimacy, and it takes determination on our end to see what it is that God has for us laid out. And the most decision that we'll ever make, of course, is a decision to follow the Lord. Receiving him and his salvation is absolutely the first step. If you haven't done that yet, we'll have an opportunity after the service, and I invite you to come up and speak with one of the counselors that would be up here regarding this. So the point that I want to bring along, if you don't take anything else from this, is this, that the decisions that we make determine the direction that we're walking in or that we're taking. And that direction is going to lead us somewhere. So if it's going to lead us to our destiny, we need to be careful of those decisions that we're making today. I have a video clip that I would like to end this with, and I know it's early, but we'll give you opportunity to go home. But this video clip, I heard part of it in a commercial, and it just grasped me. Hold on a second. It grasped me. It is a secular video. Do not kick me out of the church for it, because it's not bad. But I heard this little verse on a commercial, and I went in looking on it, and you know, my daughter pulled it up on YouTube. So when I saw it, I was like, oh my God. It's amazing that although it's secular, it really spoke to me. I'd like you to please listen to the lyrics and listen to what's going on. And to me, it was a clear picture of what happens when we have made plans and then God knows what actually truly makes us happy. Can we get the lights? I don't know if you can see without the lights. Tell me the world is not hungry for the Lord and his direction. This woman moved in with a picture of what she wanted her life to be and did it all on her own effort, all herself, only to find that everything that she did wasn't real. But when she looked beyond that, that picture came off the wall, the Lord had already laid out everything that brought her joy, everything that she could imagine that wasn't even real. He laid it out for her. When she released the fish, I lost it, because she released herself into that God had for her, and it was the perfect thing. And that's what I'd like to leave you with. I'd like to leave you with, pray about what decisions need to be made and how to make them, and allow the Lord to paint your life, to paint your picture, because it's going to be so much better than what you've got figured out for yourself. God bless you.
The Lord has a plan for our life. We are each called to a unique destiny, something important in the kingdom that only we can do. If we are believers, this is true. Because we are all created unique, the Lord tosses away the mold when he makes you. He has a plan for you. Now, when we come to the Lord, our future is assured. We know that we're going to be with the Lord in heaven one day. But many of us get caught up, because we live in a fallen world, we get caught up in the fallen world. And so we get more focused on the things that we see, like paying the bills or dealing with the guy at work or whatever it is, getting the car fixed, whatever it is. We get caught up in that. And so we lose sight of the fact that the Lord has given us a unique destiny that is just for us. And if we only walk it out, if we only stay persistent and walk it out, then we will find that true joy, like we kind of saw at the end of that video. Would you please stand? Could you move that away? Thank you, Alexia. This is actually something that I had been mulling over the past several weeks. And I think truly what it is it's something that is a message for the church broadly, globally, is that we need to start committing ourselves to true transformation. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So this day, I'm going to invite each of you to go into that process. Seek after the Lord. Where your destiny, and seek after the Lord about the direction and the path in order to get there. And to be perseverant, despite the things that may happen around you in a fallen world that may come and mean to distract you from it. Each of us have this responsibility to seek after the Lord, that we might truly live a full life here on earth, so that our life here on earth would be more like heaven than hell. So that we are living from glory to glory. So why don't we just pray right now and invite the Holy Spirit, because I sense the Holy Spirit wants to come and minister to each of us. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, we I just turn to you and I thank you for this message. And I just ask the Holy Spirit would come down upon us and start speaking to us. Lord, we can do nothing on our own. And yet with you, we can do all things. And so, Father, I invite you to come. Come into each of us. I pray, Father, that you would reveal to us the things of our heart that need adjustment. I pray that you would come and encourage us, that there would be true faith that is born within us, that blossoms within us. Father, above all, I pray for endless and relentless perseverance in each of us, that we would move forward toward you, toward the glory of the Lord, no matter what, that we would choose you no matter what, that we would say yes, Father, to you no matter what. Father, I pray, I ask in Jesus' name that you would implant within us the dream that you have for us. And that we that you would give us the guts to walk it out. Father, I lift this up. I ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If there is anyone who's looking for prayer either on this message or if there's something that's going on, you need some prayer, then I'm going to invite you to come forward. We have some ministers here to serve you. If you are in some sort of physical pain, I'm going to particularly invite you to come forward for that because we want to pray over you. We want to get after this. There ain't no point in you leaving here being in pain. That's what the church is supposed to kind of break that. Okay, so any of these things speak to you, you're invited to come forward where we can serve you. If not, you may go downstairs to the sunroom where we can just hang out and be together as a family, enjoy some coffee and some light refreshments.